This program is sponsored by War Cry Ministries.
I know you're able for. You got all power in your hand.
Oh, Lord.
And I'm on your watch. I'm waiting.
God bless you in Radio Land. This is Evangelist Flora Barnett. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us on today. I pray the message you are about to hear will be both edifying and a blessing to you. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this great opportunity to speak to the people of God. Open up our understanding that we'll better know how to please you. And Lord, we'll forever give you the glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
God bless you and welcome to War Cry Ministries. Truly, I thank God for his goodness. I thank God for his many blessings. I thank God for where he has brought me from. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Today, our topic is going to be excuses. Luke 9:57-62, and I will read for your hearing. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. It appears that these people were willing to follow Jesus. However, they started making excuses. Excuses would supposedly justify, remove the blame, it's a valid reason for not doing something, or regret or failure to do something. So they started making excuses. What is your excuse today for not serving God? What is your excuse today for not following Jesus? Matthew 8:19-23, and a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air has nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And when he had entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Y'all see that? Disciples will follow Jesus. If you are a disciple, you will follow him. They made no excuses. If you read when Jesus called his disciples, they dropped their nets. Whatever they were doing, Matthew's, I believe, was at the receipt of customs. He put down his book of pen, whatever he had, got up and followed Jesus. Disciples will follow Jesus. We make all kinds of excuses why we don't follow Jesus. We make all kinds of excuses why we don't do what the Bible is telling us to do. We try to find every way out of what we don't want to do. Don't look for ways in the Bible to get by and ways to sin. Look for the path to heaven. Don't make excuses. Exodus 4, Moses, Moses 4 and 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Moses found an excuse. He didn't want to go before Pharaoh. He said, I'm slow of speech. I got a slow tongue. You know that. We do find that Moses was very weak, meek person. So perhaps he was a little bashful. But here's what God told Moses. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well." So God, the Lord didn't really challenge Moses, saying he was slow of speech and of a slow tongue. He said, "I know your brother can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God." See, we thank God. God always has a way of escape. It doesn't matter if you're slow in speech. I don't feel like I'm an eloquent speaker, and I know that I'm not. But the Bible's not requiring me to be. This is telling me that when God calls you and he ordains you, he justifies you, and he will put the words in your mouth. He will. If you can't speak it, y'all know sometimes people speak through interpreters. One, maybe they go to a foreign country and they can't speak the language. They have an interpreter. So Aaron acted as not an interpreter, but as a spokesperson for Moses. Moses told him what to say and he said it. So we don't have any excuse for not doing what God is telling us to do. Romans 1:20 reads, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Excuses were nailed to the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, that was a way back to the Father. It could take away all of our sins, all of our excuses. We have no reason not to believe that God is real. We can look at it in all the world, the creation of the world. Look at the trees, look at the stars, look at the heavens, the firmaments, look at everything. If you don't know that God has made these things, you got a problem, because you know you couldn't make them, and I know I couldn't make them. It had to be a God. So we can look at all of the earth and all of the heavens and know that God is the eternal power, and he is the Godhead. He is an awesome God. He has left us where we do not have to make an excuse. Everything that we're going through, all the trials and tribulations that we go through, the Lord even declares in his word that he will make a way of escape for us. We don't really have to worry about the outcome. We know that the outcome is victory in him. We can't lose if we follow Christ. Don't make excuses. You know, if people don't want to do something, they will find a reason to tell you why they can't do it. You ever ask somebody for a ride and they kind of say, "Oh, well, you know, I'm not going that way today." You can pick up real fast when they don't want to give you a ride or whatever. Thank God people don't ask for rides like they used to. But because the Lord has blessed each and every one of us in a different way. We have our own cars now. Some don't, but most people do. Years ago, they piled in. How many of you? You got 5 kids, I got 5, and me and you, all 12 of us, get in that little 5-seater, and off we go. No seat belts, no nothing. But God has blessed us. People back then seemed like they didn't mind as much helping each other. Now we have all of these, you know, everything's, we're accommodated very well. We're blessed beyond belief. And sometimes we still can't go to church. Got 2 cars in the garage. Can't go to church. Sometimes people got 3 cars. What's your excuse for not going to church when people used to walk to church, ride the wagon, the horses to church? What is our excuse? And some people live in the vicinity of the church. Even if your car didn't run, you could walk. People not going to walk. People don't go to church when it's raining. Oh, it's raining. Do you go to work when it's raining? I used to go to work when it's raining, pouring down, storming, everything. I was there. And oh, I don't want the rain to stop me from going to church. Y'all know something. It's critical, critical times in this world. We need to get on top of this. We need to do what the Lord is saying to do. We need to do it because you know what? God is not going to accept any excuse that we can come up with. If you can come up with it, somebody already told it. It didn't work for them. Guess what? Not going to work for you. Oh, but I praise God on today that we don't have to come up with excuses. In John 6 and 48, Jesus said, I am that bread of life. He tried to explain that he was the bread that came down from heaven. He even declared that unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't have no part with me. And all you know with these many of his disciples that followed him at the time, this is John the 6th chapter, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Hallelujah. He already told them that I am the bread of life. You got to eat my flesh. And he didn't mean it literally. He mean it figuratively. That's why we honor the Lord's Supper. That's the flesh and the blood. That's what he was referencing to. And these disciples said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? They didn't ask him for clarity. He didn't explain it to them. He simply stated that I am that bread of life. They could look at him and tell he wasn't a loaf of bread. Hallelujah. But they made an excuse. Oh, we can't do this. This is too hard. Y'all know what? Many tasks in this world are so hard. They're so difficult, it seems. Some of the trials and tribulations that we go through, they seem so hard. Well, when we give it over to Jesus.
Beloved, that is our program for this week. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. God loves you. I love you. If the Lord's will, we will see you next week. For more information about War Cry Ministry, visit our webpage at war-cry.net. Again, our webpage, war-cry.net. Text or call us at 602-466-8104. Again, our phone number is 602-466-8104. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 13354. Tempe, Arizona, 85284. Again, our mailing address, P.O. Box 13354. Tempe, Arizona, 85284. This program was sponsored by War Cry Ministries.